And God bless you. Welcome to Ask the Pastor. It's another wonderful day. And ask your question, and you can also send in your question as an SMS or send it as a WhatsApp message to us and get the pastor to actually answer your question live on this program or the platform, whichever you're joining us on. So remember, wherever you are, it's time to ring your friends, call them, send them a message, let them know, ask the pastor is aim right now. And if they are not at home, they can actually join us on our various social media platforms. I remain Brother Godson Uba, and with me is no other person than someone that would like to read the scripture first before I say something about him or tell you who it is, because who knows, it might not even be Pastor Moses today. But let's read the scripture. That is Psalm 103, verse 7. The Bible says, he made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. There's something that the Lord has to say. And today we have no other person than our beloved pastor in the house, Pastor Moses. God bless you, sir.
Yes, he made known his way to Moses. And my name is Moses. God bless you. I say shalom to our brother Ebuka. And the men and women behind the scenes, the Bright Television crew, who are making it possible technically to reach out to the whole world. Shalom also to the supporters, the sponsors, those keeping us financially on air. Without you, of course, who will not be ahead out there. We say shalom to you all, and shalom to the Bride of Christ worldwide. Our question and answer session here on the Bride Television is our own way of availing ourselves to you out there, to share our understanding of the scriptures, to share our understanding of the divine agenda, and opportunity to being teachers. We want to hear how you understand. We want to make sure we don't live in confusion if we need to make any clarifications. That is what Ask the Pastor question and answer session is all about. And please note that this is not for you to call me to pray for you, and neither is it a dream interpretation program. That you can always call us one-on-one, off-air, and we will find time to talk with you. It is Bible study. And please let it be that you have read something maybe you don't understand, or you have heard something you don't understand, then you want to hear our own understanding. And please, we are not saying we know all. We don't know, or no one knows, or only God knows all. We speak within the limit of our understanding. So if you think we are wrong, feel free to correct us. If you think, and if you want to add to what we know, please feel free to let us know. We'll be glad. It is from faith to faith, revelation to revelation. Please feel free to let us know how you understand, so it can also help us too. God bless you, and may the Lord make this session another wonderful and blessed session in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. All right, sir. There is something that we as Christians hold there to, and that is where the word of the Lord is, or where the word of a king is.
It's power.
There is power.
Sure.
Now, is the power just healing and deliverance?
Power means authority.
Okay.
Authority covers everything.
Okay.
Authority of the Lord. Where the word of the king is, his power. That means where the word of the king is, his authority. Mm. Authority is derived from his word. Mm. So it's in every aspect of life.
And that can actually save. That can actually destroy.
It can, that can make anything. And undo. Power is power. Power to do and undo.
And I believe that in studying the word also, that power is also activated.
Oh, that is in the word. So when you study the word, you are studying the power of God.
Yes. Praise God. So do note that joining us today, we are diving into deeper things on the world, and you're going to definitely see the power of God made manifest. God bless you, and let's have the questions coming in. The phone lines are open, and you can actually call. Call our brother Christian from the Netherlands. Brother Christian, shalom.
Shalom. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. You can go on, brother Christian.
Okay, thank you very much.
God bless you.
Shalom, Pastor.
Shalom, brother Christian, my regular Bible student. Welcome to the class for today.
Thank you very much, sir. As always, it's a great pleasure and it's a privilege to speak with you and to be able to ask questions. I pray that you can oblige me. I have four questions, and maybe I can ask them in a stretch, or maybe you want to take them one after the other. So the first one is about the kingdom of heaven.
Okay.
In Matthew chapter 3, verse 2, we see John preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then in Matthew chapter 4, verse 7, Jesus is also preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Matthew chapter 10, verse 7, Jesus sends his disciples to preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So my question is, what is the kingdom of heaven? Is it the same as the kingdom of God, as we see some places? And are we living in it at the moment? That's the first question.
John the Baptist was talking about the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Yes.
Because it's actually referring to the period where the God of creation comes down through his son to begin to prepare for the rulership of this earth by God himself. So and that period is the period we are still in now. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Where heaven will soon be among men. And that was achieved through the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he was preaching. And at the end of it all, the 1,000 years reign of Christ finally crowns it up.
Okay, so is it fair to say we are living in it now, or in the first?
Yeah, spiritually, yes. Then physically in the millennium.
Okay, that's very clear. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Okay, I'll go to the next question so I don't take much time.
Go ahead.
So the second question is about obedience to authority.
Okay.
In Romans chapter 13, verse 1 to 2, we are charged to be subject to higher powers.
Yep.
How do we balance this with, say, unrighteous leadership? Because the reason I ask is we see some sort of descent to unrighteous leadership through the scripture. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, even the disciples of Jesus at some point, they had to descend when they were asked not to do certain things. And also I see that, for example, sometimes God raises descent when there's an unrighteous leadership, like we saw with Solomon in Israel. So how are Christians to strike a balance when they find themselves in this situation? And maybe I can just sneak in a follow-up question within the context of Nigeria for this question.
Yeah.
You're a pastor of a church whose congregation mostly come from a section of the country, and that section has a sense of marginalization. And at this point, especially where we have the situation in Nigeria now, where it seems the leadership is... the body language to certain things happening. And then you see Christians at this point being resorting to self-help in many ways for protection, and in many cases providing material and sometimes monetary support to groups that they believe are championing their cause or protecting them at least. So back to the question, what do you have to say in the situation they find themselves? And what is the position for Christians to strike that balance for dissent in unrighteous leadership?
Brother Christian, thank you very much. That scripture, first and foremost, there are two things you are bringing out here. Understanding of Romans 13.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
And then the situation that can exist like that of the present day Nigeria.
Mm. Indeed.
Now, the first one, what that scripture is saying is that you should obey the law of the land.
Okay.
Obey constituted authority. I don't know what is ambiguous about that commandment. Is there anything ambiguous about it?
No, I was asking there, how do we balance that when we find unrighteous leadership?
That's leading you now to the second question you are asking. The second, the second part of that question. Now, look at Nigeria, for instance, and the case of Nigeria, if you ask my own personal opinion, I am very, very careful because first and foremost, the position I hold requires care. I need to be very, very careful in making my personal opinion known on national issues. For very obvious reasons. Nigeria is bedeviled with very, very serious, rooted problems. That what you see today is just a manifestation of that rooted problem. Nigeria is, we are people that are nepotic. We are a people that are tribalistic. We are a people that have been divided against, along the lines of ethnicity, religion, and politics.
Yeah.
Now, so whoever is speaking now speaks from the vantage position he is. If it is good for him, he speaks for it, for the system. If it is not good for him, he speaks against the system. Nigeria, the average Nigerian, from my interaction, I'm a Nigerian too, does not keep the law and is corrupt and is tribalistic and is political. So if you ask my personal opinion about the situation in Nigeria, it is terrible, very, very terrible. And if you say, how do we as Christians respond to what is happening? And my advice always is that whatever a response, reaction you want to react to a situation, let it be that it is going to help find a solution. And I don't believe that there is a solution in one-ton destruction of property up and down that you call protest. The people in power are not the ones that suffer, like what happened during the recent NSAS destruction that took place. Okay. The people in government that are supposed to be in charge of our security, they are in Abuja. And the innocent people, shop owners and everybody in Lagos, they were suffering from the hijack of such a protest. And I was actually wondering, if the headquarters of Nigeria is in Abuja, why were they coming to protest in Lagos? You see, that's why I said all of us have personal views and if that protest were done in Abuja, it would have been so wonderful, you know. Yeah. And yes, but...
If I can bring you back to the first part of the question.
Yes.
I was talking about, because we see in scripture where the Bible says that God raised up dissent to the rule of Solomon because he went astray. And we also see Daniel and the three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who refused the command of the king at the time. So there seems to be room for righteous dissent in this case.
There seems to be room for what? Righteous what?
For dissent.
A dissent, righteous dissent. Now, you notice that the examples you are given, that of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel, the government was telling them to do something wrong, something contrary to their faith.
Yeah.
It was contrary to their faith. And worldwide, Nigeria inclusive, nobody tells anybody here to do anything contrary to their faith. Yeah. We have the court of law to interpret that part of the constitution that permits freedom of religion. So Nigeria is a secular state. I don't see the government bringing up any form of law that will make Christians act like Daniel, Shadrach, and Abednego.
And that was why I made the transition to the second question, because what you have spoken is an ideal situation.
Yes.
But in reality, it does not exist and has led to the...
I'm looking at the example you are bringing. You can't compare that with Nigeria. But I want you to note that the Bible tells us that all powers that be are of God.
Amen.
And I've always believed that whatever leadership a country has, it is the leader's leadership that the people of that country deserve that God gives them. I don't know if you understand me.
I'm trying to be very polite to the other viewers, so I will suspend this for now, and I will go to the next question.
Just before we round up this particular question, I, as a Christian, if I believe the scriptures that all power are of God, and the government that is Nigeria now must be of God, then they are not ruling as they should rule, and they are creating more problems for Nigeria, or they are unable to contain the problems in Nigeria. What I should normally do, I should go to the God that brought him there and complain. So it's prayers. That's what I believe. And I believe that God knows how to do to effect that change.
Thank you very much.
God bless you.
The third question, it's from the field. The third field. I listened to the sermon that you preached. I don't recall the title exactly, but you were convincing from scripture in your argument that we are living in the days of the third seal.
We are living in the days of what?
The third seal.
Of the third seal.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Of the third, yes. But I recall in one of the church ages preached by Brother Abraham, and I don't know which one in particular, but then he speaks of an overlap between the ages. And if I'm to borrow that analogy, do we have such with the seal? And the reason I ask is because, as much as I agree with your submission, but I also cannot help but believe that the pale horse rider is riding now, because the kind of spiritual deception and death that I see in this age, it does look like indeed we need an eagle anointing in this day as well.
So what's the question again?
So I was saying Abraham spoke of an overlap between the ages.
Yeah, so you are thinking that
with what we are seeing,
we are already in the fourth seal. That's what you are saying.
Like the overlap between the third and the fourth one, basically.
That is between the third seal
and the fourth.
The
seal.
Third seal has overlapped to the fourth seal.
Indeed, something like that.
No, rightly dividing the truth, they don't get a balanced picture.
All right.
Because we are talking of a divine agenda here.
Yeah.
You will notice that if you are with your Bible, chapter 6 of Revelation,
where you... I'm writing it down. I will check it out.
Huh?
I'm writing it down.
Okay, you're writing it down. Okay. Now, you notice that from verse 5...
Okay.
Okay, it says, and when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And the third beast we saw here is the face of a man, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Okay, that is in Revelation chapter 1. You may be hearing this for the first time. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. Now my emphasis is verse 6. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and 3 measures of barley for a penny. That was the condition under the dark ages, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
When indulgences were being sold, and what Christianity was turned into under that false Roman Catholicism religion, correct?
Indeed.
Is down. Now look at that last statement. He said, and see, thou hot not the oil and the wine. What is the oil and the wine? That means in the midst of that, there's going to be a revival. And that revival cannot be stopped. And that revival began with Luther. And they tried to kill anyone that tried to rise against the system, they would kill the person. But when it was time for this scripture to be fulfilled, Luther was raised up. And we know the history, how the king of Germany protected him. And that revival has been on, which marks the first stage of the rapture in 1 Thessalonians 4:16. They come with a shout, or what Romans, Matthew 25 verse 6 calls it, the midnight cry. Correct? Now that revival has not, they have not been able to stop it. It moved to Wesley, it moved to William Seymour, and it is still on now, and it will end with the rapture. Then the deception that comes up is the activation of that agreement, that covenant, that the Antichrist will hold with Israel, because this time the rapture takes place, attention is now focused in Israel to fulfill that last 1 week of the 70 weeks, correct?
But isn't it the same oil and wine that actually opens the eyes of the Jews as well?
No, no, but take note, their own revival, how it takes place. Their own revival, you know, begins with Elijah and Moses anointing the two prophets in Revelation chapter 11. Now that is the wing, the two wings of the great eagle that you see in Revelation chapter 12. That is why the symbol. That's why the symbol of the faith, the symbol of the revival for Israel is the flying eagle.
Okay, I think that's pretty clear. And if I have questions on that, I will come back to you for sure.
Thank you. God bless you.
Final question, if you will be obliged. So when I heard this message, which we call the end time message, which is just the gospel, basically, it really shocked me. It was like I was hit by a truck, and I think the fear of my errors just made me accept everything that I was told at the time. And I think I accepted both the truth and the doctrines that came with it at the time without asking questions. But then, severally, you encourage us to do study.
Sure.
You know.
Sure.
And in doing study, I find that, at least to say, nowhere where in itself wine or alcohol itself is abolished. And sometimes you read scriptures like Ephesians 5:20 or Colossians 2:16.
Sure.
And it seems that we gloss over it, but it says things like wearing is excess, or let no man judge you by this and that. It seems to be the emphasis there is about abuse and drunkenness, are not necessarily that you cannot use it for anything. And the reason I give the example is, for me especially, if I eat something really oily, my stomach is upset and I have to take something like that for. But of course, when I came to the message, religion made me start to look for alternatives and things, but I've not been able to find as such.
Brother Christian, your question is a question that is often asked. That there are many things that we seem to teach or enforce or practice that you can't see it written, you know, in clear terms in the Bible. And as a Bible teacher, I this is always my answer to it. First and foremost, even cocaine that is banned, I hope you know cocaine is also medicinal.
Yes, I know that.
Fine. Now, there are pharmaceutical industries that are licensed to use them to prepare drugs. And Apostle Paul recommended alcohol for Timothy's often stomach infirmity, correct?
Indeed.
And then also, we know that alcohol is sometimes used medicinally to extract medicine from herbs and things like that. So, judged by the motive for taking it. Okay, but more importantly, I say, as a Christian, I know the effect of alcohol.
Yeah.
And if I am to be sober, I'm to be alert, watchful spiritually, I think these are some of the things I shouldn't take.
I understand that perfectly, but my emphasis was on the religious aspect now. When I became a Christian, that part of it died. But then, even the fear of just using it for things like that you have mentioned, I think it was just religion at the time.
Well, I'm happy you are maturing. You are maturing.
Thank you very much, Pastor. I'm not going to take more time from the other viewers.
God bless you. God bless. It's always a pleasure hearing from you because you ask questions that make me sit up.
God bless you, sir. I learned from my pastor.
Thank you very much. God bless you.
God bless you, Brother Christian. God bless you. It's wonderful when you get to see and know that brethren are actually following and you see that people are growing. We can no longer remain babes in Christ. Amen. Let's go on with the questions. God bless you. All right. This is a question from Sister Onyinyechi from Togo. I met Bright TV last year, January, through my husband. Sir, you're too much. You will not die. Or you will not die at all till others are converted, sir. God bless you abundantly. My question is many, but starting with question one, please explain John chapter 19 verse 31 and Matthew chapter 10 verse 41. Why did he say he will receive a prophet reward? Why did he say he will receive a prophet reward? Is he not the one that sent them?
Let's read it again.
John 19:31.
Okay. Let's read it. Okay, which scripture is that for prophet reward? It's, let's go to Matthew 10,
okay,
verse 41.
Matthew 10, 41. 41. Okay, it says, he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. Mm-hmm. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward.
Mm-hmm.
And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward.
Okay.
So she's asking that since he's the one that sent the prophet, why the reward also?
I don't know.
The question is
not too clear.
Yeah, it's
maybe you want to ask what is even the prophet's reward?
Probably.
What is the prophet's reward?
Hmm.
You know, there is a blessing for that office.
Okay.
There is a blessing for that office. And you are making his job easier.
Hmm.
A prophet already has his reward for the job he is doing.
Okay.
Now, when you make his job easier for him, that same reward that he has, you will also be a partaker of it.
Amen.
That is the prophet's reward.
So it's more like also for a pastor who through him souls are being won.
Yes.
So when you like the supporters of the
when you are supporting, like exactly
that the blessing as souls are being won also, it's not just the pastor that is receiving the blessing.
All those that make it possible for the pastor to reach out.
Okay.
When the pastor will be receiving his reward, you too, you'll be receiving your reward. Amen. That's the prophet's reward.
Amen. 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 So let's go to question two. Adam is the problem. The whole world are suffering now. Why did God call him his son and he made heaven and put away Lucifer to hell? Is he not his son like Adam?
Who, Lucifer?
Lucifer.
No, Lucifer has been judged already. Lucifer has been settled. His case is settled. He's now an enemy of God.
Mm.
Lucifer was not created like Adam was created.
Yeah.
And remember that a son will always remain a son. Mm. Lucifer was created an angel. It's a servant, not a son.
Mm.
Lucifer was a servant, not a son. Mm. There's a difference between a servant and a son. Mm. You can never throw your son away.
Mm.
He remains your son. You only punish him, and you see the punishment that he had.
Mm.
He lost all the benefit, he lost all the peace,
and
all his offsprings to today.
All right, let's go to question three. Question three says, a woman married and bear children, and later the husband died, and she's free to marry another man. Now, is it a must that the man will return her bride price and pay on his own, and stay on his own, or pay on his own, so that she will become his wife in full?
And finally,
there's a question. Please, sir. Okay, that's another question. That's another question. Let's go back to question three, please.
Now, that is the woman that died will return the bride price. No, the death settled every matter. It's not a divorce. You return bride price according to the tradition. We are talking, you are bringing in tradition now. You know, whatever bind them as husband and wife, death, they, you know, remove them from that bond. So you don't return bride price unless tradition requires it.
Yeah, because there's actually certain traditions.
That is traditional now, but it's not. Remember that we say tradition is tradition. Yeah. You know, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to the Lord what is the Lord's.
Amen. Amen. All right, let's go to question four. Question four says, please, sir, in Revelation chapter 1 to chapter 4, these seven churches, are they humans? Is it humans that he's talking about? And why is he giving instructions different to each of them? So she's asking if the seven churches are humans that God was referring to.
No,
and why was he giving different instructions?
Why, how do you read your Bible? He said the angel to the church. Angel to the church. Maybe you are talking of the angels. Are they humans? Maybe you are talking of the human angels. Of course, an angel is a messenger. That is where you see this, the seven stars. Yeah. Each of these churches had their local pastors. Those local pastors become the angel to those local churches, seven of them in Asia Minor, the location they were located. But more importantly, by revelation, we now know that the message, that's why it's in the book of Revelation.
Yes, sir.
You see, the message was not just for those local churches, but those local churches have peculiarities that we'll see along the seven church ages, the church age period.
Yes,
so each one represented the age. Ephesus represented an age. Smyrna represented an age. Thyatira represented an age. Sardis represented an age. Philadelphia represented an age. And Laodicea represented an age. Each of them, they have peculiarities that these ages will also have. And the seven stars in Revelation chapter 1 verse 16 in the right hand of Christ Jesus, verse 20 tells us that they are the angels to the churches. And so each of the seven church ages had light bearers for that age, star messenger for that age, that God was letting them know the condition and then giving the message to the church in that age. So that is, it was, they were, I hope this is clear.
It's actually clear. It's actually clear. God bless you and God bless you. All right, we have a question. Brother Ifine from Delta State. You can go on with your question. God bless you.
Okay. I have some questions here.
Please go on. Go on with your question.
The number one of it. I want to know.
Yes.
From John chapter 14.
Okay.
Verse 1 to 3.
Okay.
It was talking about when Christ was telling the disciples, the apostles, that he's going to make a place for him, for them in heaven.
Okay.
So please, I want to check. Is there any mansion built in heaven for the saints?
Okay. Brother Ifeanyi, are you with me?
It's referring to verse 2.
Yes, sir. I'm with you, sir.
You are adding something to that scripture you just quoted now. Read it again. Are you with your Bible?
No, I'm not with my Bible.
Okay, let me read it.
Now, that scripture says,
okay, sir.
It says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe, you believe in God. It says, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now you are saying, you know, he didn't say, I'm going to prepare a place for you in heaven.
Okay.
You added that.
Okay.
Now, what is your question again?
So, my question here, where are the saints? Because I know that at the rapture day, but that is that the dead will rise first.
Okay. Yes.
But what about the liar? Those saints that have dead, are they going to go back to the grave and rise up?
You are asking two questions. Yeah. The first question about mansions in heaven.
The mansion I was talking before. I was thinking that is there the place the center are now? if yes, are they going to go back to the grave and be resurrected at the rapture?
Now, what is a mansion?
A mansion.
Yes.
A mansion is a place.
It's a dwelling place. Beautiful dwelling place.
Yes, sir.
Okay, now, are you with your Bible?
Let me pick my Bible, sir.
Are you with your Bible? Can you open 2 Corinthians chapter 5?
Just a minute, sir. Okay.
Are you there?
Chapter 5.
Yes.
Yes, I'm there.
Now, listen as I read verse 1.
Okay, sir.
For we know that if our earthly house, can as well say earthly mansion, correct?
Yes.
Of this tabernacle we are dissolved. Which tabernacle is he referring to?
The physical body.
Our physical body. So our physical body is a house.
Okay.
He said, if this house is dissolved, we have a building of God. An house not made with hands. Eternal in the heavens. So, if this body here is dissolved, it simply means there is another spiritual heavenly body that you will put on.
Okay.
That is the mansion.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you.
Then, but another one is this one.
You know that this body is not you. I hope you know.
Yeah.
Your real self, you're a spirit, you are a spirit being, but to be able to contact the physical, God gave us this house.
Okay.
So when you go, this house is made of clay and earth here. So that is why when the spirit is gone, it dissolves back to where it came from.
Okay.
But the one that is awaiting us, it is, that's why he used the terminology mansion, because that's why we have, so that one is eternal. It cannot dissolve because it's not made with hand. It is a spiritual house. God bless you.
I understand that. So number 2 is this, sir.
Yes. And I'm sorry, for the purpose of our viewers, Brother Ifeanyi, for the purpose of our viewers, when he said, I go to prepare a place for you.
Yes.
He says, in my father's house are many mansions. Now, listen, if there are many mansions there, the mansion is not a place. And if I go and prepare a place for you, he didn't say, if I go to prepare a mansion for you.
Okay.
Do you understand? The place he's going to prepare for you is like him. Now, he's seated in the right hand of the Father, correct?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Now, the same thing if you go to Revelation chapter 3.
Yes.
Now, Revelation chapter 3, verse 31.
Verse 31.
He said to him, verse 21. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Can you see the place he's preparing for us?
Yes.
Even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. So, okay. But where did he go to prepare the place? It's at the cross of Calvary.
Okay.
So the place was prepared for you and me at the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
Okay.
Shortly after telling them this, he was arrested, he was sent and crucified on the cross of Calvary. He did it to prepare a place for us.
Wow. Okay.
So that we can collect our mansions and sit in that place with him.
Amen.
Amen. Okay.
God bless.
God bless. Number one is this, most, sir. Another question, sir.
Yes.
I know that God is the perfect God.
Sure.
And he cannot create something that is imperfect.
Yeah. Sure.
So why is it some people that are created in this life that you can see some disciples and some are blind, they cannot see. So is it that God is one that created them?
No.
The man created mankind.
No. When man fell from the Garden of Eden, we are now subject to different attack. Everything went out of order.
Okay.
And it will continue like that. Nothing is normal anymore. So sicknesses did not come like that from God. It is our activities that attracted those sickness to us. Our disobedience. Once man left the presence of God, this sicknesses had a way of coming to us. Remember, he said, break the edge of protection and serpent will strike. And when serpent strike you, poison will come, death will come, all manner of sicknesses will come. And that is exactly what man is experiencing. That is why he came to deliver us from this situation. And then in the eternal age, when we shall be coming, the author of all these anomalies, Satan, will be put in the bottomless pit when the Prince of Peace will come and will not die like that again. Man will not die again. Man that will be living on earth will be living, when they are 100 years, they will say he's still a child. The Bible says so. Yes. So it is the condition that we find ourselves from the Garden of Eden disobedience that has reduced us to all the conditions, some being born blind, some even human being killing each other and things like that. And we have congenital problem, you know, hereditary problem, cancer cells, all our body, everything is out of order. It is as a result of that. That is why the word salvage, we are battered, we need to be salvaged. That is where we have salvation coming through Christ Jesus. God bless you.
Okay, sir. So the other one is this, sir. That some of our prayer leaders, okay, when they are leading us in prayer, they will tell you that you should pray until something happens. Is that language correct?
Sure, correct. You keep praying until you receive what you are praying for, and that is Luke chapter 18. If you are Luke chapter 11 from verse 5.
Okay, verse 5.
Okay.
And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee.
Yes.
And I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity,
persistence,
he will rise and give him as many as
he needs. And Jesus was using it to teach us how to pray. Persist until he rises and gives you.
Okay.
So pray until something happens. Don't keep quiet.
Okay,
I have a son. I have children. When they need something from me, if I don't give them, they will not stop until I give them.
Okay, sir. But where do you put this Bible verse that says that my ear is not there, that I cannot hear what you're saying?
Yes.
So where do you put
to
that scripture?
He hears you. He hears you quite all right, but he also relates with us like we father son we relate. Sometimes he delays the prayers. But you don't stop because there is a delay to the answer to your prayers. You keep praying. Keep reminding him. Keep praying. Don't let anybody give you any teaching that will stop you from troubling heaven. He said you should not give him peace until... There's a scripture like that. People don't give him peace until he rests in Jerusalem or something like that. You know, I don't remember that scripture very well. So okay. Yes, keep praying until something happens.
Okay, another one is this, sir.
All right.
Why did he choose to use the prophet? Why did God choose to send the two prophets to the Israelites? But for we the Gentiles, he sent the teachers.
He sent what?
Teachers.
Why did he send prophets to Israel?
He said that on the last day he's going to send the two prophets. Okay. That will go to Israel.
For their revival.
Mm. For revival.
Why did he choose prophets there and then instead the Gentile teachers? No, he didn't. No, he didn't send teachers only to the Gentiles. He sent a fivefold ministry. Mm. He sent apostles. He sent prophets. Mm. He sent evangelists. He sent teachers and pastors to the Gentile church.
Okay, thank you, sir.
God bless you. It's interesting today that we have a lot of calls coming in and they're really sending in questions and they are serving it to us very hot.
And that's evidence they are taking advantage of.
Definitely. Okay, we have a question. Shalom, Pastor Alu. In regards to my faith and my career, I am currently working in a department, what we call the last stop, where diseases cannot be diagnosed and the case will then come to our department for last resort. Few transgender came to our department. They refused to be called by sir. Okay, they refused to be called by sir, even though it is so stated in the system. It's as male to female. My question is this, in Romans 12 verse 2, and John 15:19, 1 Corinthians 5:9-10.
I've quoted so many scriptures.
Yes. Now, these trans get upset when they are called by their sex of birth, male. I really don't want to lose my commitment with God just to please someone that is confused. Can you please enlighten me how to go about this? Shalom. This is Sister Rita from the Netherlands.
Sister Rita, I don't know why this is bothering you. William Branham said something. He said, whatever you say I shall address you is what I will address you. So if somebody, a man stand and say, please address me as she, I will call you she. It's who you say. I'm not the one labeling you now. You are the one labeling yourself. So if you say, stop calling me man, call me woman. Oh, you want to be called woman? I'll call you woman now. So what? There are some things we just bother ourselves unnecessary. You know. Now we know, for instance, in the Bible that there is no scriptural appointment as a reverend and reverend doctor in Grace Age. If somebody, you ask somebody and he says his name is Reverend Dr. Ebuka, I should address you because that's who you say you are. Yeah. I will address you as Reverend Dr. Ebuka, even though I know that has nothing to do with the Christian faith. Now, what you call yourself is not really who you are. We know that. By saying that you are a she, when you are a he, does not change you from being a he. So I will still call you a she. After all, to do the job. Your job is not in labeling people whether they are he or she. Is that your job? That's not your job. Now, if it's your job about labeling the gender, then you will say you have problem. Your problem is to treat them with the sickness that brought them there. Not, and the sickness is not that they change their identity. I think there's nothing wrong in it. But of course, if you are not told to change your own, that is when you will say, no, now that's against your faith. I'm a man, I'm a woman. Don't call me a man. Or don't treat me as a man. That's different. It's what you want to be called. That they will call you. Just as he wants to be called, you call him what he wants. If he say, look, I'm a dog, say, okay, dog, how are you? Yes? What can I do for you, dog? No problem.
All right, God bless you, Sister Rita. I believe that answers the question. So let's go on. The phone lines are still open and questions can still come in. All right, Shalom, brethren. I wish to have more light on a question you answered last week, concerning a man who was baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But he later baptized another person in the name of Jesus Christ. So, sir, I wish to know more about this in relation to Matthew chapter 15, verse 14.
Matthew chapter 15,
verse 14.
Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. I don't know how that relates to somebody baptizing you correctly.
She's trying to say, since the person is already blind and was baptized wrong.
It's not the baptism, it's baptism that blinding him. Even if blinding him, his eyes are open and he's baptizing you correctly. So where is blindness? And that simply means the eye is open. That's why he's doing the right thing now. God bless you.
All right. So question two from the same person. Say, secondly, sir, I wish to know more about the shout. Does it mean that one can be inspired and homesick of the coming of the Lord and still miss it because he or she has not had the shout? I think that question still continues. Okay, that's question three. So concerning the shout.
Please, just the first question again. Let me quickly emphasize that somebody who is not free, maybe if you look at it, rather than saying blindness, you know, that would have been wrong, you know, if you use the word blindness. Yes, I want you to. It should be bondage.
Okay.
You are not yet free.
Okay.
How can you free someone? So in that light, I will agree with you that before you attempt to baptize someone, you should ensure you yourself you are baptized. That is the correct order.
Okay.
That's the correct order.
Okay.
Yes.
Praise God. All right, the question.
But sometimes some of these things you don't take them too legally because you may find yourself in a situation where two of you are not baptized.
Yes.
And you ask one, baptize me, and then I baptize you. Yeah. You know, God looks at the ordinance you are obeying rather than the procedure.
Yes. Praise God.
Yeah, so the second question.
Second question. It's talking about the shout. Does it mean that
is it possible to miss?
Yes, miss it despite your.
No, you had the shout.
Yes, you had the shout.
No, but if you had the shout, did you trim your lamb? Because the trimming of the lamb goes with hearing of the shout. Now, remember that it was after
the bridegroom
that they all trimmed their lambs. And one became foolish. And another one became wise, referred to as wise. So you can hear the shout and still be foolish and miss the rapture. So be wise. And what is it that makes them wise? Extra oil. Keep going with God. There's more revelations ahead. The journey is still going on. You go deeper and deeper to positionally place you in your age for the rapture. So don't just relax. God bless you.
All right. God bless you. So you've heard it. Question three. Sir, please also, I wish to know that what is the scriptural approach to a sister you love and wish to get married to? Brother God Love from Douala, Cameroon.
Is
there a scriptural approach to a sister you love?
It depends. This question is a little bit complicated. I don't know from what angle. Is it that you see a sister you are interested in, you don't know how to approach her, or you are in love with each other, the next step to marry her? That's why I said I don't understand. What is the approach? Now, every ministry has her local church order, you know, when it comes to courtship and marriage that they teach. No general thing in the scriptures. And if you say, sister, you're in love, the approach, you go on, are you not matured? The same way you get anything you like in the world, the same way you get a woman you like, approach her, and then assure her that you love her, and then win her love, and she will give in when you propose to her, and then follow the traditional way of paying the bride price, and follow your church tradition of getting you wedded and take her home and live forever and never and enjoy your life together.
Okay, we have a question. Let's pick that question. A call. Brother Gabriel from Delta State.
Three questions to ask you.
Three questions. Wow.
Yes, sir.
Tonight, today is actually wonderful.
Go ahead.
All right, sir. The first one, Moses, according to Exodus 33:11.
Yes.
Moses, I understand that Moses, at the time, he spoke with God face to face as a friend. But I understand that no matter the depth of your spiritual growth nowadays, we can hardly have such experience. Why? Despite the grace we've gotten from Christ. Why so?
Hebrew, the answer is in Hebrew. If you go to Hebrew chapter 1, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers, that is, in Israel, the early people there in Israel, he spoke to them by the prophets. Moses was a prophet. Now, but now, had in these last days spoken unto us by who?
His son.
By his son, whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. So now, who is Jesus? Jesus is Emmanuel. I hope you know.
Yes,
sir. That God that met with Moses face to face has now come to meet us and ate with us and drank with us, and he's in us now and talking with us. He's the Holy Spirit. So you understand now?
Yes, sir.
When you have the Holy Ghost, you have that same God that spoke to Moses face to face dwelling in you. Amen. Then you now understand why in Matthew chapter 11 he made this statement in verse 12.
And from the days of John the Baptist until now.
Verse 11.
Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist.
That means including Moses. No, was greater than John the Baptist.
Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he.
And this is the church ages. Why is the least now greater than even John the Baptist, who was greater than anybody born by any woman on earth here? It is because they have the Holy Ghost on them. We have the Holy Ghost in us.
Amen.
So it's a great privilege. God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
There's a question too.
The second question too.
Yes.
Is it actually biblical for someone to say God called him into ministry through dreams? Is it biblical?
Whichever way God talks to you is what you will act on. God can talk to you through enemies. But be sure it is God talking. And the manifestation is a confirmation. It's interpretation.
Amen.
Wonderful. It's all right, sir.
All right, question three.
The last question.
Thank you.
I want to know, sir, the problem of the communion table. Sometimes I used to have a lot of issues with it. Some persons normally have communion even in the house. Some believe that it is actually strictly for the church to be used in the church. And some don't even believe in doing it at all. Please, I want to know, is it actually biblical to take communion to the home?
Now, the Bible tells us as often as you eat it.
Yes, sir.
Now, remember that it is the identification of the body, identifying with the body and the blood of Jesus Christ that was offered on the cross on Calvary. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
Now, and it was foreshadowed by the celebration of the Passover, correct?
Yes, sir.
Now the Passover, they were always taking the Passover as a feast. The people will gather, family by family. Yes, but you remember that by the time Christ came, Christ was taking the Passover with his disciples.
Exactly, sir.
So also, when they, after the day of Pentecost, the Bible says that they break bread from house to house. The reason is because they did not have a central place where the believers were gathering.
Yes, sir.
So now that we have places, as the church evolved, we now have church buildings where believers in the locality come together. So yes, it is only proper that we come together in the church then take the communion. Yes. But if there's any reason to hold it in your house because you cannot join the group, then there's nothing wrong in it.
Okay.
God bless you.
All right. Thank you, sir. Yes. I'm grateful, sir.
All right. God bless you, Brother Gabriel. I want to tell everyone that's watching us, let's keep watching. Stay tuned as we take a short break. God bless you.